to be known to have gone and seen. It was a thing to have the autograph program with that night. But he said, apparently he said, but he didn't like the songs. They were there for the occasion. It was.
They were there to be seen, presumably.
They were there to be seen and recognised. And did you ever see George play? no stagecraft at all. What he does is he's a thick-set man. He's built like a boxer, big shoulders, curly hair, moustache. And all he does, his act, is he comes out, he puts his foot upon a chair, and he's got a bass player behind him, pianocular. And he just stands in front of the microphone, and he sings one song after another. That's it. There's no Des O'Connor thing about it. There's no, he doesn't talk. In fact, everything is wrong with the stage act. And yet, when you see him, even though you can't understand the songs, I really cannot explain it, you're frozen with a sense of recognition that something very great and very straight and big and human is going on. The songs are so beautiful. And it's as if the songs are just coming out of this bloke. And that's it. And really, one explanation, I think, is that the man is as his songs are. Both of them are inseparable. His songs are integral and trustworthy and finely crafted and melodic, so lyrical. And the guy is like that. The guy is like that. He's in every way. He's well built, he's trustworthy. Do you see what I mean? And that is the effect that he has on audiences. I think this was Colin Evans who quoted this. I forget which French critic got the phrase. The French critic was talking about something else, about a good evening at the theatre, what a good evening at the theatre is. But Colin applied it to George. He said, when you go into the theatre, you are crumpled by life. You're ragged and messy, like a shirt that's crumpled. It's gone through a day's life, and it's worn with everything that's happened to it. When you come out of the theatre after Brassens, you feel as if you've been ironed and cleaned, and you're crisp. And you see, what a superb image. And I'm sure that that's how George did it on people. It's certainly how he did it on me. I'm not saying that it was a kind of a therapy, and I'm not saying that there was something cathartic about it, but him singing, doing no bloody stage business, just a true man singing beautiful, true songs. Sounds crummy, I know, but just simply an hour of that, and he came out feeling, oh, refreshed, with the will to go on, and you know what you've just been told what human life is like. Sounds crummy, but I'll tell you what, Pally. It happened like that. I've never, ever had a theatrical experience like it. Well, revert.
Tell me about the night itself, or the run-up to the night, and then the night. When did you first see him when he came to Cardiff?
It was good fun, was that? I picked him up at the airport. I mean, imagine this guy coming in. And he came, he got a small, shabby suitcase. He had his lady friend peeping with him. And he just came out at the Heathrow, and there he was, this sort of guy, just ordinary clothes, and got him in the car. We came. We stayed in London for 2 days, and he said, "Well, show me London. I've never been to London before." So took him to various places. One place, this was quite a happy coincidence. Stefan Grappelli, whom I know ever so well, because I played with him, and because I'm potty about Django Reinhardt, and he knew him. So for a long time, I've known Grappelli. And at Ronnie Scott's that night, the night that George was there, Grappelli was playing. And so I went down to Ronnie Scott's. I knew how to get in, and they sort of knew me and the face and all that. And there was George and Grappelli. And Grappelli is a very fussy chap, and and George is solid, but they both know each other, and they know about each other's qualities. So that was one good treat. That really was super. Then they had the night at the hotel. Then the next morning he said, "You know, show me about." So I really didn't know how to go. I thought, shall I take him to the Natural History Museum? I don't know, you know. So we had a stroll around Kensington, and he was recognised. We just recognised. We went on the tube, and you know, and he was thrilled because, of course, he just can't go on the metro, can't George, you know. And he was thrilled in a sort of childish way to be walking about him, you know, and sitting down in the seats and saying, "No, this is bloody great, is this?" And then we went up into Kensington High Street, started walking down, and I don't know, just going for a little stroll. And people started running across the road. And French people, Italian people, Belgian people, saying, "You really are, aren't you?" This sort of to George. And of course, this thrilled him as well. And as I remember, we escaped, I think we went to a pub or something like that, and then got a cab. But then we got to Cardiff, and the actual show was terrific. We went in the afternoon to do a sound check, which was going to be very simple because there was only one microphone needed. We could use the same setup for the mics, you know. And there was the bass player, Nicola, in the background. So it was a very easy set to light and to sound. And in the dressing room, when we were packing up, he said, "I'll tell you what, you're going to do the first half and I'm going to do the second." He said, "For the encore, would you like to join in with the encore?" Really? Really? I mean, for a guy like this, I'm going to do a double act with Big John. And he proposed that we sing a song called Le Roi des Cons. Do you know that?
Mm.
Yeah. But the song goes through all the mighty dynasties of the world, the pharaohs, the kings of England and Scotland. And Franco was, this was when Franco was still swung. And he said, "All these empires will crumble away. The one empire, the one king is Le Con, Le Roi des Cons. Il y a peu de chance qu'on détrône le roi des cons." There is no chance at all that you will ever unthrone the king of les cons. They'll always be there. And I knew it. You know. So I said, "Well, I'll tell you what." No, he said, "You know, you join in the chorus, you sing one verse, I'll sing another verse."